Hi guys, welcome to the latest edition of the Blacks Being Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, welcome to our season finale slash, what is this, we're calling it a season ending pod for the 2022 season. And we are joined by friend of the pod, our guy, bro, Tamani Carryall from the, mentor indeed, Tamani Carryall from The Guardian. How you doing, Tamani?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me again.
No, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And again, fairly short notice. I think I reached out to you like last week. You're a busy guy. So for you to say yes, like we always appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you. I had to after last time. I was in no show last time.
No, it's cool. But yeah, man, like, we've got a lot to get through because it's been a long season. I mean, it's literally just finished. And we're in what? Like late November?
Yep.
That's something I want to talk about later on, actually. Like just in terms of like the tennis season in general, I think it's far too long. And I'd like to get I'd like us to share our thoughts on that. But yeah, like I just want to kind of get into it. So from a Black Spin Global perspective, like it's been a pretty special year for us. Like, and obviously we've done various pods like throughout the season, like at different times where we've like highlighted like moments or special moments for us. But yeah, for me personally, like us getting accreditation for like the grass court season, courtesy of the ELTA, shouts out, like that was huge. And like, that was really like a very symbolic, like, moment like for the platform. I don't know if you want to like add to that, Lucy. Like, you did your thing.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really like expect it, only because of like, you know, you and I both know the things that we've been going through to get even just that little, you know, chance. But besides that, it was definitely a highlight of not even just the pod, but just in general, like, of the year. It was a great experience. I think the reason why it was such a highlight is it made me respect people like Tamani a lot more. I'm not gonna lie, like, you know, you guys get a lot of shit from fans, from even players at times, but it's really not an easy job to do. And I can't believe some people do this all year round in different time zones, different countries, different, you know, environment, and not even in the comfort of their home. And I did it for a couple of days and I was like, yep, I am exhausted. I am tired. And keep in mind that it's not that we actually write articles as much. Like, we mainly write just on social. So the fact that these people actually writing articles had to be, you know,
on site,
and had to be 10 out of 10 because, you know, like, you're writing for The Guardian or other places. So shout out to the tennis journalists, it was an eye opener, but it actually made me love the sport even more as well, because I can now experience the sport as a fan and also as like a media person. So yeah.
What I loved as well, like, we, because there was a week where I was at Queens and you were in Birmingham.
Well, that was a plan, but then we had all the Black players pulled out.
Yeah.
So you were in Queens, and then I was in Eastbourne. Weekend.
Yeah.
For like the qualifiers, and then I went for like a couple. Yeah. So the plan was to go to Birmingham. Yeah.
And yeah, it was just like pretty much everything you said in terms of like just kind of seeing it from like that side of like, yeah, because obviously we watch tennis like on TV, we just see, you know, the players on the court, and like, yeah, we might see like clips from interviews and stuff, but to actually be there, like when they're coming off the court to go to their like post-match press and stuff like that, like, it was really, really interesting and just, great insight. And yeah, we saw the great man at work, like doing his thing. And yeah, we were learning like from him as well, like learning from the best, giving us tips as well, which is much appreciated.
Learning how to run across the ground after screen and finish our match to get into a press conference.
Yeah, these, these, are, these are the things you have to do, isn't it? So
yeah, no, these are the things that we wouldn't have known if it wasn't for Tamani, to be honest. I'd have probably just been strolling and like, yeah, just all three. And then the next thing you know, Tom would just be like, oh yeah, you just missed her. It's like, oh. Yeah.
No, 100%. But on Eastbourne, man, what an experience. Like, mm-hmm. and it was made extra special courtesy of Jameer Jenkins. Like, mm-hmm. again, massive shout out to him.
Yeah.
Like us being allowed to kind of, yeah, like sitting in Serena's players box, like on her return, you know, to action or back to the tour.
Yeah.
She was playing doubles with Vunj Jabeur. Again, that was very, very special. Like,
it was special, but I still beat myself up for sitting right next to her husband and not saying a word. I actually hate myself a lot because I actually could have plugged us. I could have been like, oh, hi, sorry, I'm Lucy here. I'm Black Spin Global. Oh, yeah.
No, it's cool. It's cool.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny because just a couple of days ago, I was thinking about it. Well, more like when the whole Drake thing happened, I was sitting right next to this person and I could have actually said something, but the reason why it was funny is because he kept turning around looking at us like, who are these niggas?
Really?
These niggas. Like, who are these people?
But
like,
you better not have said that, but
like, he turned around at least like three times, like, yeah. And it's so funny because I was facing, I just trying to avoid eye contact with him, but I think he clocked that I was trying to avoid because it's just like, I don't know what to say to you. Like, I'm even too scared to say hi, but shout out to Alexis,
isn't it? No, you redeemed yourself in the post-match press. Like, you piped up an ox through a question, like, which I was very, very impressed with. You've got the footage on the socials, which is
it's so amazing. Funny because I didn't know that Eugene had no idea that I was going to ask a question. Like, he thought that I was passing a mic to you. Yeah. I was like, no, there's absolutely no way I'm leaving this place without talking to my queen. That's not happening. It's not happening.
And it was a really, really good question too. And I think she definitely appreciated it. And Uns Jabeur too, because you brought Uns in and like, it was a nice, it was a nice kind of, they both gave an answer, which was nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even the fans are pretty, because even the fans were like asking like, oh, rah, like what happened? Like, why did she pick her? So I was curious myself, because if you look at all of the women, I'm not saying Uns was a good pick. She was a great pick. She was literally in the final for Wimbledon right after. But it was just like, why her specifically?
Yeah.
Basically, like, what is it about her? But she did well. Like, I feel like they were great together.
No, it was fantastic. And then I've said the last moment in terms of from a BSG perspective, us linking up at Wimbledon for day one, like, that was amazing. Like, even though we were just there, me and you, Lisa, we were there just for the one day. Again, courtesy of you for hooking that up. So shouts out to you, Miss the banner queen. Like, you just know how to get that. You know how to get that banner done.
One thing about me, I'm going to be in that Wimbledon one way or another. But Wimbledon, that year, this year was special because to me, I don't know if it's because it was the first time that I went on the first day, but besides that, it was just nice seeing so many Black people. Like, I saw so, like, whether it was fans or staff, and it was just all of us doing that, you know, like,
head nod.
that little nod. But I don't know, Tamari, like, would you agree, like, because obviously you've been like probably more and longer than us as well, like, would you agree that, like, this year there was a little bit more of diversity, should we say, at Wimbledon?
There are more Black people and more younger Black people as well.
I still find
Wimbledon jarring though, just like the contrast between like the majority of the people there, and then like the stewards who are mostly Black, or I don't know, the staff who are mostly Black, and then but for sure, it's there are more Black people, and it just more it is more diverse, and just more different people showing up. So
I've also got as well because this year for you, Tamani, was this the first year? Like, how did you find, like, covering all the slams? Because you were on site for all of them, weren't you? Like, was this the first season that was the case for you? Or
no, so I did it in 2016.
Okay.
That was when I was during my Erasmus year. But I was basically a 3 year, so I was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna go to cover all the slams and use my Erasmus money. To get my plane tickets. But it was just different because obviously with COVID, hadn't been anywhere for a long time. Hadn't even been to, you know, hadn't been to even the US Open last year when Raducanu won. So it was just, I don't know, it's so different just being there, you know, being able to interact with people. And I don't know, it's only been like a year and a bit, but so much has happened. There's so many new players and faces. And it's just weird because like say like in 2019, I felt like most of the players kind of knew who I was and, you know, kind of not almost like trusted or just, you know, they're comfortable to speak with me. But coming back this year, like, there's so many people who I've never really spoken to. So like, that's kind of what, like, this year has been just like trying to show my face and get them to know me and things like that. But no, it's been cool. It's been a crazy year. Just very, it felt like we just got thrown back into like just a great, huge year with so much happening. And, you know, I mean, it started when I was in Australia, it started with me landing and the day after Djokovic sent that Instagram post and all hell broke loose. So since then, it's just been like nonstop for a long time.
Well, what's been your favorite slam of the year?
I think the US Open, but it was also like the hardest one. I mean, because of Serena, and it just felt like so much happened. So that was my favorite, but it was also like, I was, you know, it was just like really intense. Well, Australia was intense too, but like, it was just very intense.
But like, in terms of work, it was just like a lot to like handle since there was so much going on, basically.
Yeah, because like, especially with the time difference in the US,
you know, they're
5 hours behind, and we have deadline, like, you know, we have to have an article in the paper by like midnight here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd like write a whole piece. Well, I'd write like multiple pieces during the day for like the day session, and then at 7 p.m., which is midnight in UK, like normally, like, unless something big happens, you wouldn't really be expected to do so much, but at 7 p.m. it was like a whole new day because that's when Serena was playing every night, you know?
So, we did see you in the stands as well. Laptop on the lap. We did see you in the stands.
Yeah, I was there a lot. it was intense. But
and for you, Lucy, cool. what was your favorite slam this year?
Ooh. I think I'll go with the US Open, to be honest. I honestly feel like, even minus the whole, like, you know, like that being Serena's last slam, I feel, I don't know what it is, but we just get very entertaining matches during the US Open, especially the last couple of years. I feel like it's been really carrying it. You know, there was so many great stuff, like Tiafoe going all the way to semifinals. And it was just so many great things, you know, happening. Yeah. And the matches are always entertaining, the crowd entertaining. 100% US Open for me. What about you?
Yeah, for me, it's between US and French, just because of Coco. But I probably will go US. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I probably will go US. Like you said, the whole Serena thing was very special.
Yeah,
obviously TFO as well, making the last four, like, and yeah, just the vibe in New York, like, it's just different. Like, and it's probably is my favorite slam, sorry Wimbledon, but yeah, we've discussed that before.
Since you've been to all four, what about a crowd? Because there's been a lot of a debate about who's like the loudest or, you know, craziest crowd. So obviously
it's got to be the French.
We have the top two, which is always the French in US Open. So for someone who's, especially this year, has been to all four, has been to many of them before as well, today, which one you say is like the craziest crowd at all of the four slams?
I think like when they want to like boo you or, you know, come for you, it's the French, you know. They will go after you, they'll try and cut you down. But the US Open, in terms of like when they're excited, it's the US Open. So it's like, you know French can be, you know,
Listen.
let me not say anything more. But just like, you know, they will kick you when you're down. That's what I mean. Like,
shout out.
They will food. Go on,
sir. Shout out to the French people, them. But you know, we know you guys, boy. French people know how. No one knows how to drag more than the French people. Honestly, like they can drag you to filth.
I like it when the French crowd like go off on someone and when the people give it back, you know, when the player, you know, is like cussing out the crowd or whatever. I love that.
Yeah, that's definitely more them.
More of that.
You don't love beef, but in trouble.
Of course, chaos. Yeah. Chaos.
Damn. In terms of like personal now, like for looking at like players particularly, and obviously not just like Black Spin specific, but yeah, what were some of like the highlights for you from 2022? Like when looking at like tennis in general, like the play, and not just from Grand Slams, but just overall. Because I'll start, like for me, obviously we had Coco reaching the French Open final, which we'll talk about in like greater detail later on, but that was huge. Obviously her first Grand Slam final.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the year started quite excitingly down under, like in Australia, obviously something you would know. But yeah, we had Madison Keys winning, I think it was her sixth title in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And she beat Coco en route to that as well, which is
mm-hmm.
interesting. And yeah, Gael Monfils as well. He won in Adelaide too. Mm-hmm. And obviously that was his 11th title. And this year he also became a father for the first time with Elina Citalina, his wife. Shouts out to the both of them and their lovely family. And yeah, Keys, she went on to reach the semi-finals in Australia. She lost to Ash Barty. So yeah. A really good start to the year. And like she finished the year pretty strongly too, Keys. I think she finished 11th, I think her ranking, end of year ranking was. And she was in contention to reach the end of year finals. I think she just missed out. Like the last tournament, like she was still in contention basically to qualify, but she did miss out. But yeah, for me, those were like the main one or great moments. We'll talk about like career highs for certain players later mm-hmm. on as well. But they were some of the highlights for me. So yeah, for you guys, if you can share yours.
Mine was definitely Tiafoe reaching the semi-finals US Open and beating Nadal. That match was just incredible. The emotions, the excitement, it was great. I really, really liked that. Coco this year, I feel like I can't even pick just one. I feel like this entire year, because she's just done so great. I feel like once she got that extra coach, she just, you know, did something else. She, what, two Grand Slam finals, one doubles? No, two doubles, French Open and US Open.
Yes, US was last year.
No, this year. No, do you know who I'm... Sorry, you're right. Last year. But she reached semi-finals and she lost to Taylor. Townsend, exactly. Shout out to Taylor. Yes, sorry. But yeah, but obviously reaching number one as well.
Massive.
Her own trainers and shit. like, honestly, this year was just fantastic for Coco. So I'm really happy for her. So she was definitely a little highlight. You know what? This is not Black Spin, but I do feel like Alcaraz 100% deserves some accolades for this year as well. I'm really excited. Like, I'm just happy to see, like, you know, the younger players just killing it, get these grandpas out. So yeah, really happy about that. Obviously, Felix as well, killing it the last couple months as well. I know people trying to downplay it because it's the last couple of months, but it still counts and he still did something. Other people are sleeping and not doing nothing and he's winning. And because of Canada, they got that little Davis Cup. So yeah. No, I mean, they got that little... Okay, you know how I feel about Davis Cup, but not Canada being little.
okay.
You know
say.
How I feel about Davis Cup, but yeah, sorry, I was supposed to replace. But anyways, he helped Canada get that Davis Cup.
He won the Davis Cup for Canada, basically.
Basically, you know, there's no Felix, there's no Davis Cup for you Canadians.
Facts.
Just that sorted. But yeah, those are definitely... I know I've got a lot long list, but I'll say for that, for now, there's 100% of things that, yeah, definitely got me happy.
Yeah, mine are quite similar, actually. Like, Frances at the US Open, Coco this year, and particularly at the French Open, when she had, like, she had a chance, you know, she clearly had a good chance, and she just went through it, like, you know, like it was nothing. And obviously, like, on the court, playing well, and then off the court, like, she's just, like, I don't know, for an 18-year-old, but just as a person, she's just so solid, and... Yeah, just like, yeah, just looking forward to seeing that continue. Aside from the black players, it's kind of the same as well. Seeing Alcaraz like break through this year, you know, first of all in like the spring and from the start of the year, and then this Open where he was just the drama, like, you know, the whole way through, like just all these crazy matches. Like he could have made life so much easier for himself. And dragged into these long
things. It's like he deliberately was doing it though as well. Yeah. Like,
yeah. It was mad. Like I was there at until like 3 a.m. for the 3:30 or whatever for the cinema.
Crazy.
It's like, why am I watching? Yeah. But yeah, that's, and then also Swiatek, I guess, and the women, like that was just impressive.
Yeah, that's true. No. Yeah, that's true, actually.
Like, yeah, after Barty retired, like, just I expected it to be like fucking mayhem, to just, you know, no one being able to, you know, to follow that up.
To follow, yeah. Mantle, yeah. That's true. Mm.
Like 37 matches in a row, like straight after it. Like, that's mad. And also Jabeur, I guess, the North African sister.
Facts. Yeah. Shouts out. No, indeed.
Made two slam finals, reached number two. Mm. Just like, true. Again, like in a different way, but like Coco, just like a really like solid person, and just a very nice human being who like everyone was happy for. So
yeah,
those are mine, I think.
No, I love all of those. And like, yeah, every single player you've mentioned there is like, yeah, completely, yeah, like they all stood out. Like, yeah. One more I'd add is again not Blackspin focused, but Holgerun or Holgerunna. Like, I don't know how you say it in the Scandinavian way, but yeah, I've been really impressed with him, man. Like, and I know he's got a lot of crap in the media or tennis Twitter anyway, just because of some of the things he said in the past, and like, but in terms of his play,
that's funny.
I said some stuff inflicted, but you know.
Oh, really? But anyway, yeah, that's enough Holgerun talk. Player retirements. We had a few player retirements this year.
Yeah. And I feel like we're going to get more next year.
But I don't think they're going to get much bigger than bloody Serena Williams. Although it's not a retirement, it's an involvement away from tennis, which I don't think... I think we're going to see her again, basically.
100%.
Oh, emphatic head nod.
Emphatic head. He was like,
go on, Zani, what are you saying?
No, just so she's like removed herself from the testing pool. Like,
oh, really? Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Look at this inside knowledge. Okay. Yeah.
Like, if she'd just been like, I'm retiring, but I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to stay on the rankings and blah, 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 then, doesn't have it. But like, if I'm going to stay around, then that's fair enough. But like I said, on like the international, you know, the ITIA, they're like the governing body for like, I don't know, just for like they do with match fixing and anti-doping stuff.
Okay.
She's like officially listed as retired. So
yeah, because when I was like doing the show, like, well, rundown, I checked the WTA website, and yeah, her profile is grayed out. It says retired. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, shit, okay, maybe not. But I don't know, man. Never say never, I'm saying. We'll see. But
40. She's 40.
Did you not see her post as well? She posted something on her IG about like practicing or something.
Yeah, but you know Serena loves to tease us. She loves playing with our feelings. She loves it. Like when she was talking about she's coming to Wimbledon, none of us believed her. We were like, she's not coming to Wimbledon. And then we were actually shocked when she not only came to Wimbledon, she came to Eastbourne as well. You never actually really know. Like, I feel like she purposely does that to make us think one thing and then like, you know, another. But you know, she's trying to be a mom in it. You just have to respect that.
Yeah.
So
No,
go on.
I was just going to say, that was actually one of my favorite moments of the year was in Eastbourne when she said she was coming. So I went there early and found her in some random club in the middle of
practicing the team with Francis.
Yeah, and like random old people walking past and being like, "That's Serena Williams," and like. This is mad, like
in ghetto ass Eastbourne. One day we talk about how Eastbourne is kind of ghetto as well.
It's not a ghetto. What are you talking about? That's like a retirement like town.
Look at somebody. No, no, that place, Eugene. Do you know what it is? Because you were only there for like a day. I was sleeping over there. Oh, I am true. Telling you, Eastbourne. I'm sorry, like the LTA needs to move that tournament. Like, you can't be having players there in that. It's crazy. Like when I was walking around, I was like, what is going on here? Like, it's scary. I was actually scared when I was walking outside by myself. Like, it was actually like, child.
Fair play. Okay. But so, yeah, we had Serena's retirement. And then Roger Federer as well, which was like crazy. I mean, he did announce that before Laver Cup. But again, you've written quite extensively about him to many as well. Like, you kind of saw this coming, I'm sure, from last year.
Yeah. I mean, I thought retirement was probably coming, but I thought, I don't know, I wasn't expecting it to come at Laver Cup. I thought he'd do it at Basel maybe or Wimbledon. Yeah. I don't know. That kind of surprised me. Like, I knew it was coming, but like, I wasn't expecting it there, but it ended up being, like, obviously, like, given that he could barely, like, he couldn't really move or anything, like, ended up being as perfect as possible as it could have been.
Were you at the Laver Cup? Were you covering it?
Yeah.
Like what was the vibe like? Like in terms of there must have been a lot of it must have been a spectacle, obviously it being his last event.
Yeah.
Like even though it wasn't an official like rankings like point event. But yeah.
I mean it felt like it was all about him and you know the whole although like obviously they played for two more days and in the end, you know, there was a result. Like the main thing was what happened in the first day with Federer and just everything felt like it was about that moment. And like, I thought, you know, with Nadal like crying and all of that, all of his rivals being there, like it was very genuine and everyone was just like, you know, it was Federer was retiring and everyone else was kind of, especially like Nadal, Djokovic and Murray were all just publicly like thinking about their own like careers and you know, I wasn't expecting that. And it was kind of, it was kind of emotional. Like,
seeing
it wasn't like Federer always cries. Like you expect Federer to cry.
Yeah.
But like seeing like Nadal just like bawling his eyes out there. Just, like, shit.
Even Novak was crying.
Yeah.
Or he said he started crying when he saw like Federer's family or his wife and kids come out, he said.
It was emotional in a good way. And it was also like just interesting like the differences between that and Serena's retirement, which was also emotional, but it was about her family, you know. It was emotional when she was like crying out Venus in the crowd and saying, you know, without Serena. So yeah, it was an emotional few months, and it's just mad that they were born like a month apart and then retired 3 weeks apart. So,
crazy. Yeah. It's mad. No, it's incredible. And like, we're never going to get anything like that again. Like, because no disrespect to the women currently. I mean, well, Venus is still going, to be fair. So like, if she decides to retire with, I don't know, say, if she decides to retire next year and like Nadal follows, it kind of is, there are similarities, but it's not the same, basically.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get a Federer Serena.
I think after Nadal and Venus, that's when it's going to, like, the retirements probably might not hit for some people. It depends. I think it depends as well. Like,
Novak.
But he's not retiring anytime soon.
Yeah, not anytime soon, exactly.
Soon, anyways. I mean, even Nadal actually said recently that he's not looking to retire soon. I'm looking at him and his body, and I'm like, boy, you better go sit down. But we're going to see. He's saying
my guy's in like South America right now playing exhibitions.
Living like, exhibition. That's what I'm saying. Like, don't try to go take care of your child. Like, this paternity leave, like, literally lasted for 2 days. And then he just literally went back out again. But it just shows to you how hungry he is. I think he got really, I don't think he was happy with his result this year, but I don't think he should put pressure on himself because he wasn't in the greatest condition. I feel like he forced himself to do a lot of the stuff. The Australian Open win, he shouldn't have won that. Let's be actually really honest, but he did. And then everything else after that was a struggle for him, which makes sense. Like, his body's not the same. The others are coming out again.
He won the French. Like,
yeah, but no disrespect to whoever he was playing against. Rude.
I mean, Casper is a solid clay court player, but anyway, I hear you. Back to the retirements. No, it leads nicely. Joe Wilfried Tsonga, he retired at Roland Garros and he lost to Casper Ruud in the first round. It was a four-set match. Were you there for that, Tomoe?
Yeah.
What was that like, seeing that? Because they had a really nice kind of send-off.
I like that send-off. Shout out to French Open for that. That was a good one.
Funny enough, when I was going up, I almost bumped into Felix, who was like watching it as well. That was a mad ceremony because it was so long.
It was long.
They kept on bringing people out and and he had like the speech, but it was what it should be given what he's achieved and, you know.
Exactly.
Because I do remember saying to Lucy, because we did pod around it, after the French Open, we spoke about it. And I did say that I didn't like how they didn't include, well, there weren't many women, like, included in, like, his, well, the video, like,
no.
Well, I don't know what you call that, but yeah, there weren't many, like, women players, if at all. And I thought they could have maybe added some.
Well, French people and women? Eugene is a big thing. Like, it's really a thing. Like, there's a massive, I'm not saying that's what the French Open did, but I'm not shocking coming from France because there's a massive sexism issue there. Like, they probably have the worst of the worst, honestly speaking. Like, their sexism there is insane. So when I saw that, I didn't really realize until you actually said it, because to me it's just literally so typical and, you know, from the French, to be honest.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, that's their bag.
Interesting.
It's only the French Opens, like, given how, you know, I mean, that was a whole issue this year with the night sessions and
everything.
Right?
Amélie Mauresmo getting a lot of crap.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, who's the director again, French Open? What's her name again?
Mauresmo.
I feel like she's there for decoration. No offense. I feel like they just put her there so then they don't have to get a lot of smoke out of it. I'm not saying she's bad at her job, but I'm just saying there's probably other people behind her that are doing all the talking so that they don't get any more smoke about being called sexist.
Interesting.
That is my theory, not the owns of Tamani or Eugene or Blackpink Global. It is my theory.
Disclaimer, I like that.
Disclaimer, shout out to French Open in case y'all want to bring this, but I'm just saying.
Stop it. No, we'll be there soon. Career best years now. We've spoken about, like, Coco Gauff, but I do want to give her flowers because, yeah, it's been, and I want to talk about, or if I say talk about, I don't want to focus on it, but I see a lot of crap on Twitter about, like, her game and, like, her towards the end of the season anyway. She played the end of year, she qualified for the end of the year finals, both singles and doubles, because she had a great year. I think she finished seventh, so top 10. Mm-hmm. She got as high as number 4 in the singles rankings. Like, and she didn't win a singles title this year as well, which I think, I mean, obviously, I don't think that's a big deal personally, but she won a lot of matches, hence why, you know, she qualified for the end of year finals. And then there was also, like, talk about, like, her record against Swiatek in terms of how she's never won a set. I think they played five matches and she's not won any of them. She hasn't got a set in any of those matches. I don't think that's a big deal,
especially when you look at Iga's performance this year. She's literally been dragging everyone.
And again, Coco. they played each other four times this year. Yeah, exactly. And again, Tamani, he alluded to it earlier, like, she's just been on a different kind of level in terms of just, taking that mantle as the top women's player, like, in the game at the moment. So for you guys, like, where do you see like Coco's game in terms of like her development? Like, I am completely, I'm happy to see the way she's progressing, and I think there's only, you know, there's only one way she's going, and that's up. Like, she's going to continue to go up those rankings. Like, there's nothing for me to kind of be worried about. But yeah, where do you guys like see her game? And like, do you also see the kind of talk, mainly in like social media? I don't want to say the press, but yeah, social media, like this idea that like she's not developing, or like, yeah, if anything, there's a lot of improvement still to be made, which obviously there is. But yeah, like where do you guys see her game, basically? Yeah, Lucy, if you want to go first.
Do you know what? I kind of feel like the people that are chatting shit just don't know what's going on, and they've not been keeping track of how well she's been performing this year. I do see a lot of people talking about, not necessarily her entire game, but as of recently, I've seen a lot of people talking about her forehand, saying that's the only thing that, you know, they feel like if she fixes that, it will be great. But the way I see it, I'm not disagreeing with that. Like, obviously all players have their strengths and as well as their weaknesses. And I feel like that's the thing that people forget. It's okay to have a weakness, even though at times, you know, you pay for it, which is why at times she might be losing the matches. But when you look at how she started this year and how she ended, or even just last year, she's improved a lot more. Whereas you have players who have been in the same level, same thing, and no improvement. She's been improving. And on top of that, she's only 18. I think at times we actually even also forget her age. Coco is literally only 18. There are players in their late 20s and they've made no improvements. So honestly, if she's made that improvement at this age so quickly in a year, I know that next season is just going to be great. I just hope that she continues what she's doing and not listen to the people who are on social. She has actually even said that she's more on TikTok than Twitter because she's trying to run away from the toxic environments and stuff. I guess some of the fans is coming more for frustration because they want to see her win. And I get it. I want to see her win, but I am so happy and proud of her performance this year. And I just know that next year she's going to kill it. As long as she just continues what she's doing and don't let like the pressure get into her head, which I don't think it is, because I don't feel like is, I don't know, she has her moments, but again, all of this will be nothing as she grows older. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
For instance, I feel like before she used to show her emotions a lot on court and players could easily get into her head. Like the second where it's like, there's always that one time she will show it. But as of lately, she's been improving that. And that has happened over her because she's maturing as well as an adult. Like, do you get what I mean? So I think people forget about that as well. But yeah, the people that are talking either don't know what the hell's going on or they just forget the fact that she's 18. But like, that goes back to what you were saying earlier. The issue with having such a long season, you kind of forget what happened. Mm-hmm. So even when you were sending the rundown, when I was reading, I was like, oh yeah, this happened. That happened. I literally forgot Barty retired this year. I swear to you guys, I thought Barty retired last year because there's just so many things happening. So I think as well, sometimes my aim next year is not to drag people too much, because I've come to conclusion that a lot of times it's because people kind of forget what has happened, including myself. So yeah, I think next year she's going to have a great year and I'm really looking forward to her in next season.
No, well said. Yeah, Tawani, what were you saying?
1 second, I just need to grab a charger, sorry.
No, well said, Lucy, I like that.
Thank you.
And yeah, good luck on this journey of like, yeah, not dragging people. It's a process, man. Like,
it's good. You know what? I've grown a lot. There's so many times where I've literally quote tweet something. I'm like, I'm about to go crazy. I'm like, you know what? Lucy's not worth it. And I just close it.
Be the bigger person.
And then I cuss them in my head. But sometimes it's actually needed. Like, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes I've realized a lot of times they just tweet stuff because they want a reaction out of people like me.
That is what Twitter's about. Exactly.
So now I'm trying to fight that reaction. But sometimes people need to get cast, but I'm learning. I'm improving.
Anyway, we continue.
So yeah, I mean, I agree with both of what you said. Like, she's 18 years old. She was number one in doubles, number four in singles. Like, that's an unbelievable year. And French Open final. I think like the striking thing to me is just how even now, like after another season, the second ranked player of her age group is still. Like, I think it's Linda Noskova who just broke in the top 100 or someone. I mean, there's a few of them now. But like, it's just, you know, she's still just miles ahead of anyone her age. And what she's doing is just really impressive. I do think that, like, you know, at the same time, I think that, I mean, there is some, in my opinion, at least, some, not the criticism, but like there's some validity to, like, for me, like where she eventually goes and her ceiling and what she's capable of, a lot of it, I think, boils down to how her forehand develops. And like you've seen this year how, she even though she's only 18, she's been on the tour for like 3 years now, and people know her strengths and her weaknesses, and everyone's targeting that shot now, which is probably why people are even more like, you know, it's even an even clearer weakness. So I think like how that shot improves is going to determine, you know, just what she's capable of in her career. But at the same time, she's like 18, and you know, most 18-year-olds have big, you know, have weaknesses, and
exactly.
And this is exactly the age when, you know, you make those adjustments and improvements, and yeah, we'll see if she does. But like again, like she's doing extremely well, and
exactly,
she just has like a great, again, like she's just like a great head on her shoulders, and just seems to have like a very, just like a good environment around her, and she seems to just like know what she wants, and that's like kind of, that's part of, you know, this a big part of the success. And like especially with her run in the French Open final, like what I always remember is just how she was constantly talking about her development and just maturity, and how like she used to, in the past, she would take everything so seriously, and you know, everything, you know, a loss would be like almost kind of a death or something, you know, like it would just be like life or death. Whereas now she has a lot more perspective, and I don't know, it's just, she's just an impressive person, and I don't see why she won't continue to improve.
100%. I think, yeah, doubles, you were right, Lucy, she did reach the French Open doubles final, because she reached the singles final and the doubles final, and she won three doubles titles this season, like two of those WTA 1000s. So like she's had a bloody good year. It's been a career high year for her. So let's just relax. But I hear what you're saying as well, Tomani, but in terms of the weaknesses, like the forehand is obviously an issue. I say an issue, it's a weakness. I remember her serve or second serve also being like a thing. She's working on those, like, and as you do as a tennis player, you're always going to try and improve certain areas of your game. So yeah, she's doing that. And that's why for me, like I've no doubt like she will be winning Grand Slams like soon. So no pressure on Coco at all. And yeah, again, a massive shout out to her as well for reaching the end of year finals in Fort Worth, Texas. With their shocking well, would you call it, the crowds weren't great, were they?
Like, apparently, like when I was hearing from like the American tennis fans, they were just saying that basically it was just the wrong location.
There was also like a bit of mix up in terms of like the quite last minute in terms of the location. So I think it was originally meant to be somewhere else, but then they switched it up last minute.
Because you know, normally it's in Shenzhen in China. Because it's not being held there for, I mean, COVID, but also obviously the
potential.
I think like that was one of the only venues, because you know, like venues are booked like year in advance for like concerts and shit. So that was the only venue that was, well, that's what
this is. That's where right now there's like NBA, NFL, and all the other sports in America playing right now as well, isn't it?
So that was the only venue where they had like a whole week. Where they, well, like 8 days where they could actually play it. I think that's what they say anyway. I still don't get why they were still looking for a venue like up to a few months before it started. Like they knew it wasn't going to happen for a long time.
Never know. They probably thought, or maybe the people in China was making it seem to them like, oh yeah, no, don't worry, it's going to be a place available. Like I don't think they will purposely leave that at the last minute. I think they probably thought, yeah, it will be available, because I'm not going to lie, the way I don't know if you guys have seen it. The way things are in China right now is ridiculous. Like, you actually think it's like a movie. Like, the way people are being treated and stuff, that is crazy, which I did not expect. I feel like the only people in the world who are still, like, such a strict, like, place. Like, New Zealand, who was the strictest at all, are not even like that anymore. But in China...
Is this in relation to COVID?
Yeah, like, people, like, it's crazy. Like, people can't go out in certain places. Some people are literally, like, outside of their home, that like, living outside. Like, I saw a video, I'll send it to you. You'll think it's like in a movie or something. Like, it's actually some, it's not sustainable. Like, people out there are actually suffering. Like, I actually feel bad for those there.
That's not good.
Hopefully all of that changes. And yeah, we'll see you next year, innit?
Another career high year, Felix, we've spoken about. So yeah, he won four singles titles this year. His first one in Rotterdam in February, which was in the UK Black History Month, which some of us acknowledge, some of us don't. but yeah, he went on a tear at the end of the year, winning three in a row. Like, and that was incredible. All his titles so far come indoors. Which I like, listen, for me, you get it where you get it. But I believe in his game, and he's got game to literally play on every surface, no matter of regardless of conditions. Obviously, we'll see next year, like, in terms of how he builds on this. Mm. But yeah, like, but I didn't say it for me early in terms of it, like, kind of highlights for my season. But of course, it's been a joy to watch Felix this year. And then yeah, we spoke about the Laver Cup victory, how he beat Novak straight sets, helping Team World win that title, and then yeah, the Davis Cup, where he was just unstoppable, literally.
Yeah,
won, I think it was three matches. Was it three? Yeah, two, four, six, eight. Yeah, two, four, six. I'm trying to four matches. Wasn't it four matches? Or he won eight sets.
I'm not too sure.
Played eight sets, won all eight.
Okay.
That's four matches. My math is so bad. but yeah, he was literally Canada's like player of the tournament. And he won the junior version of the event a few years ago. Now he's won the main thing with Denis Shapovalov, which is a nice story there. Mm. But yeah, he finished the year with 60 match wins as well, which is a career high for him. I think only Stefanos Tsitsipas had more match wins this season. So it just shows again, like, he's played a lot of tennis, and he reached the end of year finals too for the first time. He got a win over Nadal in Turin, which was pretty big as well. Didn't make it out of the group, but not reading too much into that. But yeah, it's been a really, really good year for Felix. I don't know if there's anything more to add. I think you guys have pretty much said.
Earlier, yeah. Do you know what? It was interesting because normally a lot of players around this time of the year do a little bit sluggish, or, you know, you don't know what's going on. So it's actually interesting how, like, he was able to just pump it up and just, you know, show himself as well. And I hope that energy just brings it on to him at the start of the tournament and just, like... Yeah, because to be fair, Felix as well had like some couple tough draws as well this year. Mm. You know, he did drag Uncle Nadal for five sets.
It was Medvedev as well in Australia, the quarterfinals. I think that went to five. And he had exactly, yeah. Wimbledon, he lost. Who was it? Wimbledon. First round, yeah. And that's a tough draw.
Yeah.
And then US, I think it was the second round against Draper. Again, tough, but yeah.
Yeah, during the summer, it was a bit tough, but the beginning end, he made up for it, which that's all that matters, to be honest, because he could have been just continue losing, done nothing, but he worked his ass off. My only hope for next year is that he gets Uncle Tony to just...
no one has ever been able to do that, so
that man needs to stop people stop putting a microphone in front of this man, in front of that man's eyes.
I was going to say, to be fair, he did kind of like redeem himself a little bit in Turin.
Well, he was like, oh, I'm not cheering for, do you know what, it's probably
no, because he sat in Felix's box, and rightly so.
Yeah, because all the dragging him. That we've been giving him. Because it's like
maybe he heard a pod.
maybe.
My theory is that he only get, like, if Felix plays Nadal in slams, you know, he wants Nadal, you know, he obviously wants his nephew to win, but he can beat him in the regular.
You know what? That's a good point. Because the French Open, he wasn't either.
No,
right?
Yeah.
Bang in the middle, like
he was talking, but he wasn't.
This is what I'm saying. So, but next year, Uncle, just do what you got to do to help us, you know, win. But stop talking. Just stop. Like, there's some people that just should not talk.
Where do you see Felix's game next year, Tawani, in terms of, like, yeah, where he can improve and, like, yeah, what's his ceiling?
I mean, I think he's given himself, like, the perfect kind of platform. I think he's given himself the perfect platform to be really successful next year. He, you know, it's funny because, like, last year he made deep runs in slams and you know, broke through there, but was still searching for his first title. This year, you know, he continued that at the Australian Open, but then, you know, kind of aside from, you know, French Open against Nadal, he struggled a bit more in slams in the final two slams, but he won four titles and I don't know, just broke through in a different way. So next year, I'm just curious to see if he can put it all together and, you know, in one season and he's set himself up for that. And like I remember, for example, when Djokovic won the Davis Cup in, I think it was 2010, and that was the springboard for him having one of his best ever seasons in 2011, where he truly, like, broke through. And I'm not saying that will happen.
Fingers crossed, can you imagine? Wow.
That's when Djokovic won, like, 40, was it? I can't remember, 40 something matches in a row. Season. But I mean, I'm not saying necessarily that exactly will happen, that would be crazy. Yeah. But like he's given himself a platform to, you know, he now knows he can win titles, he can win big matches, you know, he beat Nadal twice. He beat Djokovic. And now it's all positive going into next year. We've seen, like, his serve has been unbelievable, and he's
forehand as well.
Yeah, yeah, and he's
big weapon.
And you've just seen how he's become more stable. And as much as, you know, Tony does need to stop talking to the press, he should continue talking to Felix, because, you know, he's clearly helped, like, provide him with more balance, as you'd expect from, like, Tony Nadal, or people, like, giving his game more balance. And he's a lot more, like, you know, when he's in longer rallies, I don't know, he's just a lot more stable. I remember at the start of the year, like, against Medvedev, like, it felt like almost every rally that was prolonged, he'd lose. Whereas now, he's just become a lot more solid. So, yeah, it's all good. It's all positive for him.
Love that. Another player who had a career high year, or finished the season with a career high ranking, our guy Tiafoe, which we've spoken about. But yeah, he finished inside the top 20 for the first time. Really good. It was a good season for Tiafoe. He didn't win any titles. He did reach two finals. So it was Estoril in Portugal and Tokyo, which was an incredible, like, run to the final there. He beat some really good players. I think he lost to Fritz in the final there. But yeah, that US Open for Francis was just, it made it special. Like, his run, like, it was one of the main stories, considering we had Serena's retirement, but both kind of stories, like, nicely coincided, I thought. I just think as well with Tiafoe this year, like, he's basically shown he's the matches he was supposed to win, he won. Like, and that's not always been the case, like, with him. So I think, yeah, going into 2023, like, we can be much more confident that, like, yeah, he'll put out wins where he's supposed to. And I think this is only going to make him want to, yeah, continue to build and grow in terms of, like, on the ranking and, like, yeah, break into the top 10, because he's got game. Again, he's beaten big players just this year. He can compete with the best of them. Tsitsipas, he's beaten Nadal as well. He hasn't beaten Felix yet. And I think they played three times. So I'm looking forward to, like, that kind of rivalry, like, continuing to play out.
Who, Nadal?
No, Felix and Francis. So Felix is unbeaten against Tiafoe. Yeah, they played twice this year, and I think they played last year as well. And yeah, okay. Phoenix won all three occasions. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to say about Francis. Or actually, tomorrow I'm going to get your...
Phoenix,
I want to get your thoughts. Laver Cup, the controversy when TFO hit the ball, just smashed the body shot. Do you remember when he hit it at Federer?
I mean, I understand why people were doing that, but I didn't think it was, you know, people were saying that TFO and Sock should have, you know, given Federer the win in the final match and blah, blah, blah. But I actually thought that Federer would probably have appreciated the fact that that they went hard at him in his final match. Exactly. They made him work, and, you know, and in the end, like he had it on his racket. You know, he was serving. He had head match going on in the serve and couldn't do it. But I think he appreciated more that in his final, it wasn't, obviously it's not a proper, like a proper match, but like that they went hard at him and that he had for one last time to like try and figure it out. So I thought that was, aside from people talking about it, I didn't think twice about it. Like you tried to hit people in doubles. That's the, you know,
it's tactic. Exactly. Yeah.
That was nothing to me, and people were doing too much as they often do with Francis. But
that's per usual, sadly, but that's why we're here. So
gang.
Another player I want to shout out, Ben Shelton. So yes. massive season for, massive year for, I say year. So he won the NCAA men's championship for the Florida Gators. That was back in April, May. I don't know when that was, but that was early in the year, basically. And then got a few wild cards into a few of the US hardcourt like events before the US Open. Was it Cincinnati, the Masters event? He beat Casper Ruud. And yeah, that was when he was like, I don't know, he had a ranking somewhere in the 200s, like, so like just complete outsider coming in and beating like a top seed at a Masters event. Everyone was like, oh, who's this guy? Like in America, obviously they were well aware of him. But then, yeah, he just literally went on a tear. I think he did play, he got a wild card into the US Open. He did lose in the first round.
Yeah.
It was a 5-set defeat though. I mean, I'm not sure if he had match points, but it was a good account, or he gave a good account of himself in that match. But yeah, the end of this year, he just went on a tear. So he won 3 challenger events back to back. And yeah, basically he's broken into the top 100. So he'll be straight into the Australian Open at the start of the year, which is massive. He's 20 years old, lefty. Like, he looks like a really, really exciting player. Like, and someone I think we're going to be seeing a lot of, like, in the future. I don't know if you've seen much of his game tomorrow. Like, what do you make of his game?
Yes, I've seen him. He's like, he's tall and big and strong and just has huge, like, big weapons, like, big, huge serve, like, just, he's very aggressive, and yeah,
On the serve, sorry to cut you, do you remember a player called Joachim Johansson?
Yeah.
The Swede. I think his serve is very similar, like, in terms of the motion. I don't know if you can see that.
And I can't fully remember Johansson's motion.
It's quite distinctive, but yeah, just when you mentioned the serve, I was like, because he's got a massive serve, like it's a bomb. But sorry, continue.
No, that's it. Just like he has the weapons to, he clearly has like weapons, and the fact that just the way he's just gone in a tear, and just the second he fully like devoted himself to being a pro, he's just flown up the rankings. Clearly he can achieve a lot. Like he's not, I don't think many people want to face him in the first round in Australia. And yeah, it was also cool that making the main draw, he freed up a wild card for Christopher Eubanks as well. So,
yeah. Who he played, I think, in two of the Challenger finals that he won.
Yeah.
He beat Eubanks in two of those finals, which is mad. Lou said, "If you have anything to say about Ben Shelton, apart from the fact that you didn't know he was black."
Yo, I really like. How did I find? I think you posted him.
Yeah.
And then I messaged you like, yeah, I was like, bro, are you sure this guy's not Latino or something? Like, are you sure he didn't make a mistake? I was just because obviously we both pictures black and white as well. So the first time when I'm seeing it, I'm like, he is not giving me black vibes. I was just like, I'm not too sure. Like, is he actually? And then I clocked, but yes. But I will add the same thing as Tamani said. I can't remember which match it was, but the first match of his that I watched, that he was actually very aggressive. Which I'm looking forward to be honest. I like when players are like really like aggressive on the court. I think about most of the players that I really like, especially obviously Serena, they're like very aggressive players. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Is he playing any other tournaments besides the Australian Open at the beginning?
I'm sure he'll play some of the warm-up. The schedule's not really been has the schedule been announced on the men's side?
I don't think the entry lists are out yet. No.
They've just announced which players are playing and stuff. But we don't know anything else. Like couple players. There's some players playing, some are not. Like Alcaraz not playing till actual Australian Open
or something. Oh, really?
But yeah, which I'm really surprised.
Interesting.
Actually. Like, I don't think he's doing any warm-up tournament, but we'll see. And we're looking forward to seeing Ben anyways, for him to have like a proper, you know, season and stuff. And I feel like people got to know who he was pretty quickly, which I was really happy about.
Yeah.
I'm guessing since he's an American player.
I was going to say, it's definitely because he's American. There's a different kind of like, machine
Exactly.
Drive.
Yeah, looking forward to it. But yeah, we'll see in it next year.
Another player we need to shout out, Alicia Parks. So she got some big wins in Ostrava. Top 20 win against Karolina Pliskova. And then she beat Maria Sakkari, who was, I think, number 7 in the world. Like, so that's a top 10 win. She reached the quarterfinals there, and then she won the doubles event, which was her first WTA title of any sort. And that was with Katty McNally. I want to say Parks is just outside the top 100. I think she's won around the 120s. So she's looking to, I think she's still playing at the moment actually as well. She's playing some events in Europe before the end of the year. So she's looking to get that ranking up and hopefully she'll be into the main draw for the Australian Open.
She's actually even playing the quarterfinals. On Friday at Andorra.
Andorra, okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's a name. We've spoken about her a lot as well. We had her on the pod last.
Whoa, wait, hold on. She's 73.
That's a doubles ranking. Doubles.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I looked at that as well. I was like, oh shit. No, but it's doubles. But yeah, she'll be in the top 100 soon. Like, I remember I was speaking to her dad. And he was like, she's about to bust that. You said, she's about to bust that top 100. I just couldn't stop laughing when he said it.
She's 134 right now. I didn't realize she was that tall. Oh my gosh, she's 6'1". Oh wow, okay. Well,
shouts out to Park. But I don't know if you seen much of a game, Tawani, like in terms of
I watched the Thriver. I watched her.
Okay, what did you make of her?
I mean, the serve is obviously just enormous. The thing I love was just in general about her game is just how she just how much she enjoys coming to the net. Like she's always coming.
That's true.
And she's obviously like very good athlete and I don't know. She has like a lot of like different like ingredients and when it all comes together, she's gonna like she'll be in the top master for sure and she'll like keep on going up. I think
100%.
Yeah.
I'd say look out for, I'm not saying this as a fact, but look out for potentially a doubles team of Coco Gauff and Alicia Parks. Just something that, but no more to be said on that. Taylor Townsend. She returned to action this year. And before making her return at the French Open, she joined us very kindly on the podcast with her coach, John Williams. Shouts out to Rodney Rapson for hooking it up for us. But yeah, Taylor's had a good season, I think, as well, in terms of, especially some the double side, like won her up at the US Open. And it's just good to see her back, back on the
court. She was also semi-finals French Open, right?
Exactly. Yes, yeah, the exactly. With Keys, Madison Keys, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I think again, like we can look forward to seeing Townsend next year. And I think she's won a few like ITFs as well this year. So she's working her way back.
She won one a few weeks ago. The thing about Townsend is like she's always played like kind of a restricted schedule, and obviously even more since now she has a kid. So plays more, like she'll be again in the top 100 easily. I think she's like around 130 right now, and like having like performing really well.
For someone who was just on maternity leave, I think she had definitely a good comeback. The way your body is, the way your body's like different after giving birth, like the fact that she's been able to just train hard. I mean, she said on the live how hard she's been, she was working and stuff, like even her coach was emphasizing like, yeah, and she was still doing like the presenting thing. She did really well. Everyone on Twitter were like, Tennis Channel, everyone was loving her. Like I remember telling her that, I'd be like, listen, I don't know if you're aware, but everyone was loving. Obviously we couldn't see it from our side, but from the like feedback that we were seeing on social media, it's like everyone was enjoying, you know, her on the Tennis Channel and stuff. So she was doing that in training, and then here she is working really hard. I feel like she had a very good comeback, and I love watching Taylor play, to be honest. She's so focused, you know, seeing her run her and the net, that's her thing as well. Like she's really good at the net as well.
It's that doubles, yeah, yeah. And just watching,
she has she has that game face on. Like that final, you could see was, you know, getting to it. Like she was not playing, like, and it was so close. They were so, so close. But for her to make it that far, it was really amazing. So
very special. So also someone, I've not put her on the rundown, my bad, but Sloane Stephens, she won a title this year as well, didn't she? Mm-hmm. In Mexico. In
Mexico.
Guadalajara. Mm-hmm. Incredible run from Stephens. I mean, she didn't have, wasn't her standout year, like just looking
but
at her
results.
But she
had a couple of good seats.
Yeah, I mean, she reached quarterfinals at the Roland Garros, which is good. Yeah. Wimbledon. Where did she go? She played Wimbledon. She was a first round loss.
No, there was another one in America. I can't remember. She did well as well.
She did well in Guadalajara again. That was a WTA 1000. That was her last event. So she got to the quarters there and lost to.
Yeah, there was another one as well. I can't remember, but yeah, she did. There's some tournaments where she was like, it was kind of like a up and down thing this year. But she still did pretty well.
And then finally, just from a junior perspective, Angela Okotoyi, I think, again, it's just always worth mentioning. She made history by winning the junior doubles title. So she was the first Kenyan to win a Grand Slam at any level. She teamed up with Marie Nijkamp, I think, for the Netherlands. Mm. They won the girls' doubles title. And they beat the Canadian pair of Chris Mbuko, I think she's 15, Black Canadian, and Kayla Cross, so two Canadian girls, very good junior players. Shouts out to Angela Okotoyi, and I think she did also win a doubles title recently as well on the ITF tour.
She reached a singles final as well, I think, in Kenya. I think
that rings a bell, and that was last week.
Yes.
So a good season for Okotoyi. I think she's 18. So I think it's someone we're going to be seeing, hopefully, on the rise, like just continue to kind of, develop and come through the rankings. Before we finish, what are we looking forward to like next year? And I say next year, the season starts in like what?
A couple weeks.
Just under a month. Ridiculous. Because I've got here the United Cup, which replaces the, what ADP. Is it again? ATP Cup, exactly. Shouts out to Canada, who won that. I saw a really good stat, actually. So Felix Auger-Aliassime has won every team event he's played this year. So ATP Cup, Laver Cup, and Davis Cup. pretty sick record. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this United Cup because Parks, she'll be playing for the USA. And Reina Akoya-Stoiber, the like promising junior Brit who's of Ghanaian descent or heritage, she'll be playing for GB as well. So it'd be quite exciting to see those two. And obviously, yeah, just the new season in general. But yeah, for you guys, what are you looking forward to, if anything, like going into 2023?
The first thing, I'm looking forward to the little drama of like Djokovic going back to Australia, because, you know, people are going to be like angry. So I'm looking forward to being entertained by that.
Trust you.
I am actually looking forward to seeing what's going to happen at WTA, most importantly, because Iga has been, you know, winning all of these tournaments by, you know, some will say that she did the bare minimum and still did it. So I'm actually really looking forward to what's going to happen. Is she still going to be carrying it over? Are there going to be someone who's going to, you know, take it over? Like, are people going to see her more as a threat compared to this year? So I'm really looking forward to like the state of the WTA. Looking forward to Francis and seeing if we can turn some of these into title wins. We've had a couple of nice finals. We had great wins. We've reached the semifinals, US Open. So I'm really looking forward into seeing how that converts into the title, same as Coco as well. And lastly, as a tennis fan, I really want to see the state of Nadal as well. I kind of feel like this is it for him in terms of physically. I feel like his experience and the way he is mentally is what helps him win. Remember, I said this before on the pod, like I feel like the biggest difference between the older gen and this new gen is the hunger and the mental, you know, strength is really not the same. But again, I feel like the pressure is probably not the same. Like the new gen can be a little bit more like relaxed and be like, you know what, if I don't want to play today, I'm not going to play today. Even though fans can come and attack them, media can come and attack them. But it's not the same as before. Like when a different generation, things have changed. But yeah, there's some players I'm keeping my eye on, even like non-black spin, like Tsitsipas, Sakari, Medvedev. I want to see like how they're really performing. But I'm investigating a lot because I don't know what to expect next year. So it's more of like let's see how it goes type of thing.
But, yeah. I like that. Strong list there. So many, what about you?
I'm looking forward to, so on the men's side, just in general, I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, Alcaraz and Rune in particular, they're like new generation now, and how they, if they can, you know, how they, you know, face Djokovic and Nadal and the older players, and if like with their youth that they still have like a level of kind of fearlessness that the players older than them kind of have lost, if the players kind of, you know, establish themselves right at the top of the sport or not, especially obviously Alcaraz is already there, but Djokovic is going to be coming for him, so that will be interesting. The women's, like, yeah, also it's the same with Lucy, kind of how if there's going to be a challenger to Świątek, I think like still the player with the most capability is obviously Osaka, clearly. That's like the dream, really. Just from the perspective of the WTA, like to have them like facing each other in big matches, but
yeah, that'd be
Osaka's still like not close to that, really, to be honest. So I'm curious to see if she can, like, you know, get back to where she should, where she, I'm sure she wants to be and where she should be. One thing, just, I am just, having seen Songa retire and Gilles Simon retire, I'd like to see one last big season for Monfils. You know, he started so well as well, and until
are you saying that you think next year that's it for him?
No, just like one, at least one last big year.
Okay.
You know, one,
okay. Cool.
Where he has a, you know, where he has big results. At least one last.
Mm.
Big year. It's like, okay. It's like he was playing so well at the start of this year. Like, you remember his press conference in Australia when
I was going to say exactly. Yeah, go on.
I'd completely forgotten about that until the last hour when, you know, when he was like, when it was me and Ben Rothenberg, we were just talking to him and he was like, oh, I think all I need is one shot, you know, like, I think, you know, I just want one chance to win a slam. And he's like, I think I can do it. And that was like, I don't know, that was like really, that was like, you know, he just lost to Berrettini in the quarters of Australian Open. He was like, so determined. And,
like, when I heard that, actually gave me the chills. I was like,
yeah, the same, like,
flipping out, like, yeah.
It was right after losing a match as well. I don't know. It was a moment that was a nice moment. So I'd like to see him. I'd like to see like at least one.
Yeah, I love that.
Wait, sorry, go on.
No, I've also got here. Like, do you think we'll have any more like first time Grand Slam winners? Because obviously we had. Rebekina on the women's side and Alcaraz on the men's. Like, I do feel like we're going to have more next year as well. I think, yeah. Facts. I don't know who they're going to be, but yeah.
Facts.
I mean, 100% on the women. And yeah, possibly on, I think it's more than possible on the men as well. Like, obviously it could be like, either Djokovic just dominates or Alcaraz. Or
Kyrgios. You know,
Nick.
Oh, shit. That's what happened.
Where was he for the Australian Davis Cup team, though?
I mean...
Oh, allow it. Hey, listen, you might have to edit that one.
Yeah. I mean, he has been saying that he's not that, you know, traveling, you know, his whole thing is that he doesn't like traveling and that he wanted to go home. And I think he played Tokyo because he's a Yonex player. I didn't know this until Yonex players have to, well, I think a lot of Yonex players are like kind of obliged to play in Tokyo because
it's probably in their contract. I won't be surprised. Interesting.
That
type of thing. And that's out to Yonex, though.
Yeah. And what was I going to say? And yeah, he played doubles obviously at the ATP finals, but I think he just wanted his whole thing now is that he's tasted reaching a semi final, and that's his big focus now. He says.
So is anyone going to go big and give me a name, like as in a potential Grand Slam winner for next year, as in a first time winner basically, or we're not there yet? It's too late in the season, or too early to be thinking about all that now.
I think it's a bit too early for me to say anything, but I definitely do agree with Tavani that there's going to be, I think next year there's going to be a lot more like new winners. Yeah. I think I generally think so, unless Novak comes out of nowhere with his calendar slam nonsense.
more than possible.
Especially that this year he's low key been robbed. I know he's upset about, you know, missing out on Australia and then obviously not having enough matches to then follow up with French Open, and he won Wimbledon, right?
He didn't play US. He wasn't allowed in New York as well.
And he was allowed in New York. He's pissed right now. So he's going to go to 2023 season and whoop everybody's asses and be like, this is for last year.
Can you see Alcaraz holding on to number one?
I think it's holding on to number one. I could see Alcaraz winning another slam for sure. Wow, I don't know if he'll hold on to number one. Like his current total is already like pretty, well, it is low for a number one, and I think Djokovic can. No, I think he's. I think Alcaraz has like 6,800 points, and Djokovic
because when I was looking at the matches, he's not played that many matches in Alcaraz, but he just got a lot of big wins. So fair play to him.
That's the thing that which is really impressive. So I think that's why in my head I'm even a bit fifth. Like when I find out he's not going to play till like. Australian Open. I don't think he's playing that much. Like,
no, he's got to be playing before.
I'm pretty sure I saw it because of his injury. I think it's because of that. You know, he's a little bit injured right now.
Yeah, but surely he'll have to play a warm up, some warm up.
Maybe. I hope he does.
He didn't do one this year, actually. He went straight up into Melbourne.
See?
And where did he finish?
I think he lost to Berrettini. I can't remember what round, like.
Must have been quite late on then.
I can't remember.
At least fourth round. Okay.
He lost Berrettini third round, and even that was 5 sets.
Fair play.
The first two rounds, straight sets, he wasted no time.
Because, again, I've not got this on the rundown, but, like, where are you guys in terms of, like, the season being... I think the season is ridiculously long. Like, it's too long. Like, something needs to be done in order to kind of give the players a break. Like, and I don't know if it's a thing of changing the schedule. So maybe having... But then how would you do that? Because you've got the end-of-year finals, which I think needs to stay where it is. But then you've also then got, like, Davis Cup and Billie Jean King Cup. Like, let me know Lucy's on that one. Well, where are you on that, Sereni? Like, yeah.
I think the women's season, which ends like a couple weeks earlier, I think that's actually like a good spot. Like, I think it ends mid-November. It ended on my birthday. Yeah, it ended November 13th. So... I think that's fine.
Happy belated, by the way, as well. We missed.
You're just saying this like this is your birthday, like,
and it was a landmark. Like, just skirting over it. Just like, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I turned 20, so you know. finally,
I hear that.
Yeah, but yeah, I think I actually think that's, although it's, I think in on from their part it was quite unintentional because they you know, that they miss weeks in the year because of they don't have the Chinese swing at the moment. Well, it doesn't seem like they'll have the Chinese swing. We don't know. But yeah, I like that. But I agree that the men's season stretches on this is the first week of off season, and
it's nuts.
They're going to be back in the gym in like next, you know, they'll be back in the gym next week preparing for
ridiculous.
Yeah,
because this United Cup starts on the 29th of December.
Yeah.
December, not January, December. So 2022, the 2023 season starts in 2022. Like, that makes no sense, but that's where we are.
I do get why, like, the season is long though. Like, the other argument is that there are, you know, for the top players, yeah, they may need a break, but there are other players who are trying to make a living the whole year round.
That's the thing.
Those are weeks where they can't earn money and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
True,
the top players, that they have a chance now they have a chance to at least, like, take a week or two off and mm-hmm. rest, but they're going around and playing, you know, exhibitions and stuff. It's not, like, remotely the same thing, like, playing an exhibition. They're just, you know, it's not nearly like playing a tournament, but...
Just there for some extra cash. It's okay.
I think it's more, it's not even just extra, I think it's more like branding as well. You need to remember, because a lot of these players, they might not, so a lot of these players have not won any titles, but their branding is what's keeping their pocket full. Mm. You take that, what's that Japanese player?
Nishikori.
Why is that guy always the top five most paid tennis being? But, you know, the brands are paying him. So because of, you know, obviously his case a bit different because the Japanese brands are paying him. But there's some players, they don't win that much. But the branding is what they need. They need their name out there and stuff to get them peas. And
hate the game.
Listen, it is what it is. You got bills to pay. We're in a recession.
No, fair play. And yeah, lastly, I just want to shout out. So we had Hayley Baptiste on the pod earlier in the season. She was our first player interview. So shouts out to Hayley Baptiste. We also had, obviously, Taylor Townsend, which we spoke about before the French Open. And then we had guest co-hosts. So Trevisha Watkins of Love and Tennis. That was a really good episode we had with her. Jordan Sanford as well, speaking about All-American homecoming. A great show that everyone should watch. And yeah, her work with the USTA. And yeah, our guy who is here with us right now, mainly the mentor. to me. The example.
The example. I'm dead.
No, but honestly, to me, it's been yeah, just brilliant, man. Like in terms of this year as well, like you proper shown us the ways, like from just doing your work basically, and then also yeah, us kind of being at events with you, like, and yeah, you guiding us as well, like really, really appreciate it, man. So thank you so much.
Me asking like dumb questions like, can I drink Pimm's? That day at Eastbourne was so hot. I was like, you know what, I can't, there's fresh Pimm's right in front of me. And I was like, listen, can I actually drink some of this? Because right now I need some refreshing cold drink. So yeah.
That feels like such a long, what's the temperature right now? It's like, what, 2 degrees outside.
We're talking about that's what I'm saying. Like this is what I'm saying. Eastbourne, I was out here with my SPF and my sunscreen and everything. Like it was hot. It was like incredible. 20, 30 degrees. Now here I am with my heat on.
Mad.
Yeah. I have to say, like, thinking about the Eastbourne, it was obviously probably the first time Serena has had a press conference where there's a row of black people, you know.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. It felt good.
You know what? You could tell by her face that she's like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah, yeah. There's like a focus.
Yeah,
on,
yeah, it was just literally just us three niggas just there, you know, just chilling. Like, yeah, you know, but it's funny because I feel for Tomato, it's probably different because people definitely seen him a little bit more like other journalists, but definitely people were looking at us like, are you guys like lost or something? Like,
who
do you get what
are
I mean?
You?
We're here. And I feel like with me as well, looking like my face, looking like slightly younger as well and everything. But again, it was a great experience. I mean, that's how we met even the people who run like the WTA social media, even the ATP one as well and stuff. So
your countrywoman.
She's from Senegal, yeah. And we actually have like mutuals as well. Like when I actually looked at her followers and people, like I was like, I know this person.
Shout out really to Senegal too, by the way, World Cup, doing their thing.
You get what I mean? But you know, Sunday's gonna be exciting. I definitely need to watch the match in my house.
Sunday's techie though. Where are we going, Lucy?
Who's where we? Do you want me to get shot? Like with my Senegalese flag, please. I'm staying home. I'm watching that match at home alone because boy, I'm not gonna be out of there shy in Senegal.
No, I'm saying, and who are you supporting? Because I mean, born here.
Senegal. You know, okay. Yeah, I'm you know, shout out to the UK, give me that passport and that, but you know, they didn't make jollof, they didn't make it. You know, they don't bring me the sun. I'm going home in a couple of weeks as well, literally in 2 weeks. So, you know,
No, wicked. Well, it's a nice way to end it. And yeah, shouts out to USA too as well. They've also qualified for the knockout stages of the World Cup. So good luck for the US and obviously England as well. So we move. I want to see more African nations though. We won't talk about Nigeria.
But don't worry,
they weren't in it. But
first, yeah. Nigeria is just.
This is not a football podcast. That was a quick. No, guys, honestly, thank you, man. I want to say that's it for the season, but we have something in the works that we're working on. I can't reveal it anymore. Lucy's looking at me like, what? But
I'm trying to remember, but okay.
In terms of the season, that's it. So yeah, as always, thank you so much for listening. And yeah,
for another season. Kind of we did it.
Interactions and yeah, it's been a long one, but an enjoyable one. And yeah, we look forward to doing it again next year.
Next year, yeah. It might be a little bit hard for me to watch the matches because I'm going to be in Senegal with slow-ass internet, but I'm going to get my VPN and good luck to me. But luckily, by the time I come back, the Australian Open won't start, so it's okay. So it's Adelaide and stuff that I might struggle a bit to watch.
Okay, no, that's cool. But I'm sure I'll keep you updated, usual, in terms of, you know, all the results and stuff, black related anyway.
That's it, because this is an African only.
So yeah, guys, thank you. And again, Tony, thanks a lot for joining us as well, man.
Yes,
very,
sir.
Very good to have you on. Like your knowledge and insight, like much appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. See y'all in 2023.
Guys, happy new year. And yeah, we'll see you before the end of the year. But yeah, until then, take care.